before that, if I say Nyojong, can you guys say Nyojong? 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 To transliterally say that in English, it means live good. Yeah, live good. It's a greeting that we monks people will say in a way to almost a form of blessing as you greet the person that you meet and you say live good. So you tell them to live good. Yeah. So we've been using that phrase and it's becoming as a greeting now. It doesn't sound greeting when you transliterally say it into English. But I'm guessing a lot of adults here have been to the cemetery. Who has not been to the cemetery? So even you guys been to the cemetery. I'm amazed. I would take my kids to the cemetery. So when you, if you haven't been to the cemetery, I'm sure that one day you get the chance to go to the cemetery. When you go to the cemetery, what kind of people do you see at the cemetery? What kind of people? Yeah, dead people. Immediately, you have dead people, the thing you see. I'm sure there's also other people that are dead people. There are living people that you see at the cemetery. There are people that actually works on the ground there, and there are people that are visiting people there, the dead people there. So you see, also see living people. And so they're living people. The thing that I'm really fascinated about the cemetery is that there are living people operating and facilitating with the dead. Now when you look into the Christian life, unfortunately that's similar to a lot of Christians. Yeah. A lot of Christians are alive, walking, talking, working. But they're in this spiritually dead circumstance. They're in spiritual cemeteries. So there are living people among the dead. There are living people among the dead. Out of the Bible, when the Bible gives promises, the Bible talks about great truth about God, there are Christians that only take only few of these things, and they take it to be real. And today, if you are the one of those Christians, you really have to ask yourself, what can I do to walk myself away from this? What can I do to walk away from this spiritual dead cemetery? And it's not like we find ourselves in those situations because we're terribly evil and intending to be in those situations. It's never like that. Somehow we just find ourselves or recognize that we're in those situations. We're in spiritual cemetery. And by that time, we just got so used to being there that recognizing takes more than just recognizing to get out. Let's start reading today's scripture. Galatians 5, it says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for those who oppose to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do." So, the Bible here talks about the flesh and the Spirit. There's two distinguishing forces here, or there's two distinguishing items here that I discuss here that they're opposing against each other. And Jesus tells us that, you know what, if you were to live in the Spirit, you have abundant life in the gospel. And Paul tells us that if you were to live in sin, if you live in that transgression against God, if you were to live in the flesh, according here, it doesn't say here, in Galatians, though, it says then it's death for you. So walking, there's walking in this by the Spirit. And here, Galatians 5 tells you, there's also walking by the flesh. I think those that fall into some of the spiritual cemeteries, they forget that we are human and we walk also in the flesh, that we struggle by the flesh. We'll find ourselves falling into the flesh. That's why verse 16 repeats, it says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desire you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Notice how the Bible talks about here. It doesn't say that if you walk by the Spirit, you have the desire of the flesh. You mean you don't have the desire of flesh. If you walk by Spirit, you don't have the desire of flesh. It tells you here that in one sense, you will have desires of the flesh. You have those desires. So when you walk by the Spirit, you have the choice of obeying or disobeying the flesh. Because this you will not gratify means that you still have a decision making that. You know what the flesh is like? And you know what sin is like? The flesh, the way it's talking about here, as carnality, the sin that invades in our body. It's like a house. The structure of a house can be contaminated. You can say mold. Mold doesn't kill the house. A house can be contaminated by one element that's strong enough to do it, is termites. When you go and look for a new house, one of the first things you look for is, does the house have termites? In the flesh, we're contaminated by sin, just like the house contaminated by termites. And some people, some Christians, even among brothers and sisters, it becomes obvious that there's some contamination. And when that contamination happens, then it's really difficult to walk by the Spirit. It's really difficult. Even if the house you have, you paint it, you put a new wall in, you put a new floor, if it's still contaminated by termites, no matter what kind of you want to change the looks, no matter how beautiful you want the house to become, it's still contaminated. It's still contaminated. And that house is not going to last. So the Word of God doesn't say that, you know, when you walk by the Spirit, you will not have the desire of the flesh. It would just say that you can fight those desires. You can fight those desires. And reading back to 16 here, it says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desire of the flesh. Romans tells us 7 and 6, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is my flesh, nothing good. If you desire to sin, and you have to understand that the flesh do desire sin. Your flesh do it. Even after you become a Christian, it's not that you're going to be free from sin. It's not going to be free from desire of the flesh. You gravitate towards it. You desire for it. You desire for it. And those are the things that don't please God. Sin do not please God. And I don't mean to say it in a way that once you become a Christian and you start desiring for sin that doesn't please God, it doesn't mean that you should run away from God. God's not like that. God's one of those good parents, you know. You ever like that one parent that's a good cop, that's always come to you even though you did something bad? Almost seems like you either that parent rewards you even though you did something bad. I'm not saying God rewards you when you did something bad. I'm saying God is like that good parent. Romans 8 tells us this, that we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. And this scripture tends to speak out to people who go through suffering and trouble. Theologically, though, when it says good here, it means that God prepares good. Good as in sometimes when we can't perceive good, he perceives good. Sometimes when, you know, that good parent looks at us and looks like, you know what? You're going through some issues. I want this to be good for you. And sometimes we can't understand that good, but it is good. God plans for good, even though it's hard to define good. In our own definition, we cannot define good because we don't see all the elements that happens around us. The good that he talks about here is good as in similar and to creation. After each day, God said, it is good. The good, as he talks about here, it is his idea of perfection and not ours. So when we struggle through sin, Christians that gravitate and struggle through sin, it's hard to turn back to God and look like, God, are you judging me? Or even among your brothers and sisters in Christ, are you judging me because of my sin? God says that you're going through because God's planning for good. God's plan for good. His plan doesn't mean meant to destroy you. His plan doesn't mean to dissuade you away from the path of good. His plan meant to perfect you for good. So when we go back and read, I walk by the Spirit. When I walk by the Spirit, if I say walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. It's giving us and telling us that trusting and walking with the Spirit, that doesn't lead us. That does will take us to sin, but that leads us to choices. That leads us to choices. And somehow, some people also have this idea. When you read that verse, I used to think it this way. Stop carrying out the desires of the flesh, and you will walk by the Spirit. Right? If you want to put that verse into practice, how could that be practical? You probably think, like, if I just stop sinning, if I just stop desiring, I'll walk by the Spirit. I walk by the Spirit. It's very practical in thinking that way. But when you do that, it's like you're taming a lion. You're whipping it. You're using your own strength to beat your flesh, you know? You're taming it, you're whipping it, and you're trying to control it, and you're trying to get it to obey every command that you have, and you're trying to bend its nature. You're trying to bend its nature to follow your will. That's what it is like to try to tame a lion. And that's what it is like trying to tame, control your flesh. The result is that if you try on your own will, you try on your own effort, it becomes only frustration then. The Word of God didn't say that you should fix your flesh. You're not wanting to fix your flesh. You don't have the ability to fix your flesh. So if you want to walk by the Spirit, it's to fix your flesh. That's the idea we get when we read something like this. And it doesn't say that you should fix your flesh at all. God doesn't say that you make yourself a better person by fixing it. Because here, the Bible tells us, if you walk by the Spirit, it's telling us the Spirit does the work. The Spirit does the work, not you. Whatever it is to fix is not you. I know I'm taking this responsibility off of you so that you can feel so much lighter. I understand. Yes, I am taking that responsibility off of you. It is not you to fix the flesh. If you want to talk about fighting against the flesh, that's something else. To fix it is something that is different, whole different topic. If you and I, we were talking to non-believers today, if someone that's not a Christian, and you and I have talked to them, and we're talking here, we talk about getting acceptance through God. Later on, as we talk all the way to sin, I think one of the hardest things for an unbeliever is to accept sin, to accept the reality of sin. And that's why they feel that it is rejection that God gives only. When you talk all the way to the end, it's like, God rejects me because this is who I am, that he cannot accept. A sinner. Well, that's from the prideful point of view. And guess what? It's the same thing for saints. Same things for believers. We could have this deep determination, this effort, this strength that we want to use and consume, that we grind our teeth to get it done, and that we want to overcome this flesh. You only find yourself that you are this condemned building. The reason why your will and your strength will not be able to achieve this is because you are a condemned building. Your flesh is like a condemned building. God has already condemned that building. He has already condemned your home. He has already condemned your flesh. And he has already condemned your body. The Bible says we are cursed because of that. I know. It seems like that's a little bit harsh when I say condemned. But we are cursed. But most people, when they look at the fact that we are cursed and we're living in this condemned body, this body that will deteriorate, this body in sin, this body in flesh, they look at the negative part only. They look like, this is your God who gave you unfavorable life to live, a suffering life. They didn't look at the other aspect part, which the Bible talks about. Romans 3:2 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But 1 Corinthians says this, so it is with the resurrection of the dead, what is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable. What is sown is dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown as a natural body, it is raised as a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So when you speak truth to unbelievers, you speak truth to those who don't know, and they see that Christians always talking about sin, suffering, and I don't want to be around there. Tell them there's more to that. We tell that because there's good news to that. We tell that because God has given us something better than that. God has given us a whole new body. The Bible says, yes, you live in this condemned house. This condemned house is not eternity. This condemned house is not, it's only there for a short time. And the long one that you're waiting for, the one that's everlasting, is this spiritual body. Doesn't ache, doesn't feel pain, doesn't suffer, does not age. So when we walk by the Spirit, we're seeking further than just this world. And one of the things that you and I have to think about is when we fight against the flesh, we have to think about something longer term. When you give in to the flesh is when you give in to the moments there. You give in to the desire there. But when you don't give in to the desire, it's because you have a longer plan, a longer future, you have a goal ahead of you. And that is the eternal things God's preparing for you. The Bible calls that there are dead works in us. And Isaiah tells us this. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteousness deeds are like polluted garment. We are fade. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. So no matter what of our deeds, no matter what we do that is considered good, in order to please others or even in order to please God, without God, it says here, our righteous deeds are like polluted garments. Another translation says filthy rags. So when God calls here, he's looking at his term, good. Your term of good deeds, good as in perfect, perfect. You're good as in perfect. He says, no, it's nothing good at all. It's nothing good at all. Your righteous deeds, nothing good. You did not commit righteousness. Basically, that's what he says here. You do not commit righteousness. He sees that what we do, our deeds, is stained. It's stained, it's polluted. That stain is stained with sin. Galatians 16, it says, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desire of your flesh. What is to mean by walk by the Spirit? It is a concept that has to do with bringing your walk, your life, your decision, your choices, in line with the Holy Spirit. And it's not based on a human thinking. It's not relying on human thinking. It allows the Holy Spirit to govern your life, not you. When you try to align everything based for you, on for you, or for you, you're not walking by the Spirit. You're walking by the flesh. any decision you make, not including the Holy Spirit, not including God in this, not including Jesus in this, you're walking by the flesh. So sometimes even that decision, it looks like it's not ill intention. It doesn't look like it's evil at all. You and I may perceive good. God doesn't perceive good at all. God doesn't perceive good. So allowing the Holy Spirit to govern you, that is to walk by the Spirit. I want to give you four practical steps in walking by the Spirit. These four practical steps. I want to mention these four because these four can say, you know, can help us walk by the Spirit. One is acknowledgement. Acknowledgement. First, in our hearts, we have to acknowledge that apart from the Holy Spirit, you can't do anything good. Romans tells us, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. And then John 15 says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I know the scripture comes very hard when it says you can do nothing. It's not that you can do nothing. You could do something. You always have a decision in doing something. You can always do something. You always choose not to follow Jesus Christ. You always choose to disobey Jesus Christ. You always can choose to not walk by the Spirit. I know that sometimes it's devastating to our pride by giving to Christ, by trying to please Christ, by trying to follow Jesus Christ. But he says here, I'm the vine. And that is the source of living. That is the source of life for you and me. Aside from that, there is no life. That's what he's really saying to us. There is no life. Second is pray. Pray. How, you know, I was first talking to us about cemetery, and we fall into dead, spiritual dead cemeteries. The first sign of those spiritual deadness is lack of prayer. Really, the first sign is lack of prayer. Ezekiel talks of this. It says, I will put my spirit in you and cause you to walk in my statutes and to be careful to obey my rules. Ezekiel tells us that God puts his spirit in you and me. And that's unique because, you know, in all other religion, all other faith, there's no such thing as God living in a person. This is the only faith that we have that's so unique. God lives and dwells in us. And that in that, he wants you and I to walk just like him. Walk and follow him. Walk in statutes, it says. Walk and be careful to obey his rules. Walk in the sense that, you know what? His spirit is right next to us. His spirit is either walking ahead of us or next to us. And that we're taking that follow, we're taking that step. And so, Psalm will say this, create in me a new heart, O God, and a new right spirit within me. Three is trust. The third step into walking by the Spirit is faith. We must believe in Jesus Christ. We must have faith in Jesus Christ since we are coming under this gracious power of God. It's trusting him. A lot of people get lost in this whole wilderness of dead cemeteries because they don't have trust. They want to take leadership on their own. They want to take the first step on their own. And they want to walk on their own. They don't want to walk with the Spirit. They do not want to walk with the Spirit. So trust in God. Trust in Jesus Christ. Trust in walking by the Spirit. Lastly is this, act. The fourth step in walking by the Spirit is that after you have acknowledged your helplessness without Jesus Christ in your life, pray for his power to overcome in you and trust in his deliverance and his leading of you, lastly is to act. Act in what you know as God leads you. First Corinthians 15 says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I work harder than any of them. Though it was not I, but the grace of God that is in me. Galatians 2 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I live, but Christ who lives in me. And do you know how Paul comes to that? Would he confidently say, you know what? It says that verse 20 says, it's no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. The confidence in the faith that he has, the confidence in the things that he does, it's because he acted in trusting and following the Holy Spirit. He acted. He just didn't sit. He just didn't do anything. He just didn't become one of those that would just sit and do nothing. He just didn't become one of those who waited for something to happen. He acted. Act. When I think about when things get rough, things get tough, walking by the Spirit, it's a tough road. It's a lonely road sometimes that I can't fully share even to my wife, because then when that moment happens, the only one person I have left to share is God. Then with that decision, when I'm on crossroad, whether to fall into the desire of my flesh or whether to walk by the Spirit, I have no one else to make that decision with me except God. And when things get rough and tough like that, any effort I make, I want to trust in the fact that those efforts I made is a sign that God's grace is working in me. Let's pray together. Our Lord, Father God, it is great that you keep working our life, God, changing us, God. And that, God, I ask that you keep molding our human mind and body, God, because this is a struggle we fight against the flesh continually as we are living on earth, God. That, God, don't let this struggle become alone. As your word says that it is walk by your Spirit. That is to walk with you, Lord. And I pray that as we keep walking, that you abide in us, Lord. You walk right next to us, God, and take us that leadership, Lord. Lead us to where our destination you call us to be. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.